I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for fun with Melly. Yeah, we're going to have a great time. This is my website, melissaredpill.com. I've got so many things to talk to you about. Today is the day before Easter 2026. And so we're going to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus and what that means for humanity. It's everyone realizes how huge it is, but it's even bigger than that. It changed everything. It really did. And there are some hidden things that I wanted to make sure that you guys knew about, and also connecting some very beautiful dots that you will really enjoy. So if you're not familiar with my channel, you can check out all of our resources on melissaredpill.com. Make sure that you hit the like, subscribe, and share buttons. Make sure that you are joined with us over on our channel and following over our social media. And for those of you who can, if you possibly can, we have lots of wonderful brothers and sisters over on YouTube also who have joined with us. And now we're back on YouTube. Welcome back, everybody on YouTube land. We have been in the Isle of Misfit Toys, a lot of us over on Rumble, and a lot of our folks are over on Rumble doing chat. But if you can, everyone, if you can maybe open up another window, if you're on a laptop or somehow work it out, I put the link in the chat of the Rumble so that you can find out how you can access the live stream over on YouTube and join with them there and chat with our kinfolk over in YouTube land. And so it'd be really great for everyone to like over there also so we can get the message out. What is happening is this is biblical. Is literally biblical. I had something I wanted to show you on this. Oh, I know what it was. I think this is the one our president posted. It was like wanting to not come up, but that didn't come up. All right, so it's okay. I'll show you this one. Our wonderful president, they didn't post this. This is a meme. He put up on the window, it made a little window, pretend window in the Oval Office with the curtains on it, and has the, of course, our Declaration of Independence there. And so, but some of these great, I think it was actually Gizmo Memes. I love our wonderful Patriots. They're just so fun. He changed it where it's about Jesus. It's a image of Jesus. I love it. I love it. Check it out.
And it's very cool. Isn't that great? Just went up yesterday.
Wow.
And it's very cool.
Oh my gosh. I love it. It's very cool. Very cool. And Jesus is back. Jesus is back. He's running the world and he's being honored. And so that's very, very exciting. I really feel like, you know, and I don't know the timing on this. I don't have insider information. All I do is I piece together what the Lord has given us clues in his word and what's going on. And I know that this is biblical. I know this is the end times for these creeps. This, if you're not familiar with my books, I've decoded Revelation. Praise the Lord. He allowed me to piece it together that this is the end times for them. Not end times for the world. It's the end times for the bad guys and 1,000 years of peace for us. But yeah, so I just have a feeling though, this is a big Passover. This is a big Easter. I have a feeling some big things are happening now because, we have lots of reasons to believe that. But yeah, so we just
Hold on tight. We'll watch and see. I'm ready to see the great awakening of humanity. I'm ready to see, we've awakened, but the Bible tells us that there would be a great awakening. And even on the 17 board, it talked about there would be a mass start awakening. So I'm all up for that. So just buckle up. It'll be the end of them. All right. So this is where I wanted to start today on this study about the sacrifice of Jesus. He is the sacrifice for our sins, and that is the reason that he came. He said he wanted to, he was had longed for the day when he could keep Passover. What he meant by that is that he was longing for the day when he could be the sacrifice for our sins. That sounds outrageous, but he was so much longing to complete this mission so that we could be restored, that we could be restored in our personal lives to God and also as humanity. And there's another wonderful passage in the Old Testament. And I've also decoded the Minor Prophets. The Minor Prophets were talking to us. They were telling us, they weren't just talking about ancient history. They were telling us about this beautiful day when we would be rescued from our enemies. But there's a beautiful passage where it talks about the woman in labor. And it says that Jesus said, I'm going to be like a woman in labor. I'm going to groan and pant like a woman in labor because it's finally time. I'm going to work hard to get this job done. So this is where we are on the timeline of history. But way back in the day, Moses, as you know, fled Egypt because he actually killed an Israelite, an Egyptian who was harming an Israelite. He saved the Israelite's life, but then he fled and he had been raised in the palace, but he was an Israelite. So he was both. And so, but he fled, he went to this land and became a shepherd. He's like, I'm out of here. This is too much complication and too much drama. And says, I'm out of Egypt. So he went and he was a shepherd for years. And one day he was looking for a sheep and the Lord had drawn him over to this area and there was a burning bush. And I love how they do this. I think this is on the Ten Commandments movie. Yeah. And so here's a little clip of that. I don't know if on YouTube but they'll let me play this, but anyway, I'm going to try. But he's basically, in case it gets clipped out, sometimes the things that I put over there get clipped out. And it's he's t you know talking to the Lord who's in the bush. The bush was glowing, and he's like, what who are you? What is this? And so the Lord began to speak to him and to lead him on telling him what to do to rescue his people. Okay, I'm like, how does this go about Jesus sacrificing us for our sins? Okay, just hang on tight and we'll get there. All right, so he says, I am. He says, who am I going to say sent me? In whose name am I coming to deliver the people of Israel? Who am I to do such a thing? He says, tell them I am sent you. I am is one of the names of the Lord. And so if he has various names, but one of the main names, his biggest name is the I am. He is the eternal God. He is the one who is, who always was, who always will be. He is the great I am. We live and we die and we have no control over anything. Newsflash. But he is the great I am. He is the one who is in control. And so here he is talking to Moses about that.
Is holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt?
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee what thou wilt say.
All right. Love that. A little clip of that. So he and then he said, then the Lord said, this is in Exodus. He said, that's that same passage. Moses said to the Lord, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am that I am. It's important. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The great I am. Now, transport yourself back to Egypt, where there were various gods. And then, you know, think of the Greek society, where there's a god of this, a god of war, and a god of all these different gods. And so he's saying, I am the true and living God over all these other pretend gods, all the other ones who try to control the world. I am the one who's in control. All right. So this is really important. So when you hear those words, the I am, the Hebrews knew him by that name. Okay. So let's see where am I going with this? Now, fast forward to the night when our Lord Jesus was in the garden. He had been betrayed by Judas. Remember I was telling you about that he told John, he says, the one who dips with me in the cup, he's the one who's going to betray me. He dipped the parsley, the bitter herbs into the salt water. Remember that? If you kept the Passover, if you haven't seen the Passover video I just did, you know, go back and watch that and really understand the symbolism of all this. You catch so much more when you do the biblical festivals and you understand, oh, that's what he was dipping into the salt water. He and the Lord Jesus said that he would weep bitter tears. It's a symbol of the tears we have wept while we're in bondage under our slave masters, under the really, Satan is the worst slave master. When we are living in bondage to sin, that is what makes us cry bitter tears. Everything else we can deal with, but when we don't feel like we're close to the Lord, that's when you cry bitter tears. So he had said, you know, he's going to dip with me. Well, he did, and he did cry bitter tears. The Lord Jesus said that it'd be better if he'd never even been born, right? So here he is now after Judas had left to go get the 30 pieces of silver, and he's going to bring out the soldiers. The soldiers end up coming to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I'm just so thankful I got to go there years ago. It's right there on the other side of the Kidron Valley from where they housed the soldiers. So they didn't have a long walk at all. They just walked right down the hill, and there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't, you know, and honest truth is, he could have been up and over that Mount of Olives and gone, and they would have never caught him. But he was there waiting for them. And so here in praying and getting ready for what was about to happen. So when the soldiers came to arrest the Lord Jesus, he said, Jesus realized that all was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet the soldiers. He says, who are you looking for? He asked. Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. And Jesus said, I am. I am. And Jesus said, I am he. They all drew back and fell to the ground. At that word, the word I am, they fell to the ground. I wanted to make sure that you understood the significance of that. This is basically like the Lord speaking to Moses from the burning bush saying, I am. And the Lord Jesus says, I am. And they basically are standing just like Moses was told, take off your sandals because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. They're standing on holy ground before the living God. And they realized that, and they bowed. They were forced to their knees because he is the I am. Of course, they stood up and they were allowed to continue their mission because their job was to arrest the Lord Jesus. And Jesus had already put himself in that position where he would be arrested and move forward so that he could die and suffer for our sins. That was his role. He That's, he says, that's the reason I came into this world, to save the world. And he was not going to let anything stand in the way of getting that done. And there is a little video I want to go grab real quick because I don't want to forget to show that to you. So I'm going to grab that right now. Anyway, I just want to make sure that you saw that. So there's something else I want to show you about the I Am. But there is a pass. There is a video. I think it got wiped away. It got somehow deleted. I want to make sure that I have this one for you. Maybe that's the what this one was. Let me see if I can go and grab this. So if you're not following me over on X, there's my X account, Melissa Redpill. And so I share a lot of a variety of things over there. But one of the main things that they're saying that it was just a watermark. It's an AI generated. We know that. We don't need you to tell us that. All right. So bear with me just real quick because I want to make sure that you saw this. There we go. All right, not this one. Okay. Here is, let me show you this one. The sound, like the sound is not working that really well on that one. But that there was another one I wanted you to see. Okay, here's the one. All right, so this is the one. As soon as they arrested him, the Lord Jesus was taken to Caiaphas' house. Caiaphas was the high priest. He was the one who was running all the religious ceremonies in Israel, specifically in Jerusalem. And so he was really very, very evil. And he was not even a true Jew. The thing is, the night before Jesus was arrested, Jesus was in the temple teaching to all the people in the porticos, not just like in the temple itself, but in all the areas around and loud. It was all stone and your voice would carry and people were listening to him. They had just sung Hosanna, waved the palm branches and they had ushered him in thinking he's the king. The king is here. They were so excited. Yeah, the Caiaphas and his bunch were not so excited because Jesus called them out right there on the portico saying, these people, don't listen to these people. These people are evil. I mean, he said, it's in chapter 23 of Matthew, if you listen to him, he is tearing them a new one. He's telling them, these people are evil. He says, they're whitewashed tombs. You think that they're all pretty on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones. He said, they're like the brood of vipers. He's calling them out right in front of everyone. And that's why they're like, we got to get rid of him. And they were so angry with him. But of course, they couldn't attack him. They couldn't arrest him in broad daylight with all the people watching. So now, this is the video, the little clip I want you to see from the Passion of the Christ, of course, by our famous Mel Gibson, amazing. And so he is being, and you'll have to read it, but he's being told, what are you going to say for yourself? All these people are coming against you. They're saying that you are a criminal and that you are a liar. And all. What do you say for yourself? And Caiaphas is going to specifically ask Jesus, who are you? Who are, admit who you are. And Jesus admits who he is. And guess what he's going to say? He's going to say, I am. And he signed his own death certificate because they couldn't get their lies straight. They could not find a way to convict him because nothing was holding up in this kangaroo court. And so when he said that, of course, Caiaphas is going to rip his robe like he's a blasphemer. He's saying he's God and he's not. Well, if he's not God, then tell me who else can raise the dead. Who else can make the blind to see? Who else can make the lame to walk? And he admitted who he was right here. So if someone ever says, he never said he was, that's exactly what he said when he said, I am, and you will see me coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Okay, so that's what he's going to say. I'm going to make it full screen so it's a little bit easier to see. Okay, here we go.
Yeshua Nazareth. Amar lana en ant meshiacha bar elachachai. Echo eana. Talk
צומבר נשי דיו בימים חייל. תן פעם בני שכם.
I know that was really hard to watch. I know that's hard to watch. But I want you to remember whenever you watch that, he did that willingly. He did that willingly. He went to the cross willingly. He did this to save us. It's because of his great love. Yeah, this is why, you know, Jesus is, you know, there on the walls in the Oval Office, like, wow, there's no one like our Lord Jesus, and he came to rescue humanity, and he was going to rescue humanity no matter what happened to him. And so the as soon as he said this, the demons just were unleashed to just tear into him. And you saw Caiaphas leaving because he's going to speak in the middle of the night. He's going to go wake up the governor, and but before the end of the night, Jesus is going to be in between the governor, and then he's going to go to Herod the king, and then he's going to go, you know, they're going to call him before Pilate again. And, you know, before by the time it's morning, on that Friday morning, Jesus is already going to be having been beaten to a pulp and was already on his way to Calvary, to Golgotha. But the thing I wanted you to see is where he says, "I am." Did you see that? I want to make sure that you guys saw that. He said here, "I am." They just did it. I really appreciate the way that Mel Gibson did this movie. It was just spot on, because that's exactly what he did. He said, "I am." It's huge. I want to make sure that you guys know the significance of that, now that you see from the burning bush, and then from this other passage I was reading to you here, when the soldiers fell to the ground. This is really such an important term or important phrase. And he says, "And you will see me," okay, hold this up, "you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power." And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power. All right, so where is that? "And coming on the clouds of heaven." Now that is from Daniel chapter 7. And so when he said that, not only that he said the "I am" from the burning bush, but also from the prophets. So but from the law and the prophets. The law is Moses. The prophets is Daniel and Hosea and Zephaniah and all these prophets who testified about who our Lord Jesus is. And so from all the testimonies, you have the testimony of the law and the prophets. Both testify that Jesus is the living God, the Son of God. And he says here in Daniel, chapter 9. Sorry, let me pull it up, make sure I tell you the right things. Verse 13. This is chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." This is what Jesus is quoting. He's saying, "I will come with the clouds of heaven," in other words, to rule the world. And this is where we are on the timeline of history. Again, if you're new to this channel, this is what we look at. This is what's biblically happening right now. This is what The 17 board meant by this is biblical. This is the day when the end is the end of this evil system ruling over us. All of the empires of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he'll reign forever. And this Jesus was talking about that one day he would come on the clouds of heaven. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient one and was led into his presence. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just wanted you to see that this is the vision that Daniel was given about when our Lord Jesus would take over and rule the world. Well, the thing was, they thought it was for them. They thought, well, we need to just kill him and snuff him out so that he cannot rule the world. But they didn't realize that when he was going to the cross, he was taking his place as the king of the world in that he would suffer for our sins. He came as the lamb. Now he's coming as the lion. That's why I've got the lion, right? This is his role, to be our savior in every way and to bring us to God. Now, super quick, I wanted to tell you a couple of so many other things. Remember how the disciples were asked by Jesus, who do men say that I am? And they say, some say you're Elijah, right? Well, remember in the Passover, if you kept the Passover this week, I hope you did. Remember at one point, there's a knock at the door and you let Elijah come in. And Elijah sits and has dinner with you. Well, it's like when our Lord Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. He is, they're saying he's Elijah. He's the one who comes in to sup with us, to have supper with us. He is the one who is the Lord himself who dwells with us. He's the one who enters in, and he is the blood on the door. He is the sacrificial lamb whose blood is on the door. Let's see if I can show you this one. Let's see. That one. Okay. So I want you to see that. Let me see if I can have a picture. I think it got, here's the doorpost. Here we go. This was the symbolically the blood that was on our door for Passover. And when you, we'll talk about this more at the end of the video today, but when you receive Christ as your savior, when you receive the Lord, then his blood covers your sin. And not only does it do that, but it also gives you the power over sin. And it's the door through which we can enter into the Lord's presence and sup, have dinner together, hang out together. This is the beautiful part when we walk with him, his blood covers all of it. That's why it's so important for him to go to the cross, because we were not acceptable except with the blood of Christ, to be able to have him come in and sup with us. So I want you to see that, that he's, quote, Elijah in the Passover celebration. And I'm sure most of you already know that. All right, so then the next thing, this is one of the pieces that's hidden information that most people don't know about. And all of us who've been researching, a lot of you guys have already found out about this. I posted this video in 2018 about the Ark of the Covenant. And I wanted to tell you about this because there's a video and it has like about 500,000 views. I wanted to make sure, and it's now back. It was back. My whole YouTube account with all the videos that I did way back in the day, they're all back. And that's one of the ones that's back. So I shared that in the, I'm going to make sure to share that in the chat so that you guys can see that also. But this is the thing I wanted you to see. When they pierced his side after the Lord Jesus died. So he went to the cross. We know he was nailed to the cross and all the different things that he said to fulfill so many prophecies that he accomplished every little thing. He crossed every T, he dotted every I to accomplish all the law and the prophets. I mean, everything he was doing was to the exact completion of the prophecy. And so it says here that at the end, when Jesus was dead, they came because they had to hurry to get the all these people who had been executed off their crosses. And some of them, they had to go ahead and break their legs because that would keep them from being able to breathe. And so when their diaphragm would no, they couldn't hold themselves up to breathe, then they would suffocate, and that would take them very quickly, because crucifixion is normally a very, very slow, agonizing, painful death. But they didn't have time to let them agonize as long as they want. They love agony, but they didn't have time for that because they had to get them off of the cross because the sundown was coming. Okay. So they came though to break Jesus's legs, and they said he's already dead. Well, because he'd been beaten so badly with the cat of nine tails, and he'd already bled so much, and all that he had been through it's awful. But here I want you to see this, and this is a little piece of information that you might have think, you know, in the past, what is the point? Why are they telling us all this gory details? What does this matter? Well, everything in God's word matters. It all has a reason and a purpose. And so this is in John, this is in verse 34. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. Well, I always thought that, well, that means this is, you know, proof that he was dead when the water and the blood poured out, like the contents of his abdominal cavity was the blood from his broken heart. His heart literally burst, and all the contents of the blood poured into his abdominal cavity. So it was all there, like in a container, like in his abdominal cavity. So when he pierced it, it was a lot of blood and water. So when he pierced it, it's poured out, and it also sprinkled him. I'm sure it got on him. And this is very symbolic of the sprinkling of the blood, that everything is cleansed. And we are cleansed with the blood of Christ. His blood is the only thing that cleanses sin. It's, you know, in the past they would sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial animal on different things and say, this is cleansed because of the blood of Christ, because of the sacrifice of Christ. What is the point of the sacrifice? Is that he takes the place of the sin bearer. He is the sin bearer for us. He takes the place of those who have sinned, and so that those who've sinned are they don't have to pay the price. That's the whole point of Jesus going to the cross. He paid the price instead of us. He is the sacrifice in our stead. The Bible calls it, the doctrine is called substitutionary atonement, that he switches places with us. We were the ones who deserve to be on the cross. We were the ones, because we've sinned against this great I am. We've raised a fist and been in rebellion against the Lord of heaven and earth, and we deserve to be under this judgment. But Jesus says, I will take that judgment in your place. This is why we all adore him. And the whole world recognizes that he is the Lord. He is the King of the world. And he's not only the King who rules us and helps us in our lives, but he also is the one who paid for our sins. Amazing. He really is. All of creation stands in adoration, bows in adoration. All right, so he pierced his side, and blood and water flowed out. Well, it went down the cross, down the cross, down into the ground. And again, we never realized what this was, what the significance of that was. But now we realize there is a huge significance. Let me see if I can find the picture I have for you, and it's right, here we go, here it is. This is the video that I did back in June of 2018, where I talk about what happened with the blood that went down the cross. So Jesus is on the cross, the blood goes down, and there, because of the earthquake that happened. Remember the earthquake? It's another piece of information. Like, why are we learning about this earthquake? What is the significance of that? Well, you think, oh, well, it's because the whole world is being rocked. Yes, that's true. It's a huge moment in time. Yes, that's true. But also, the Lord had a reason. He has a reason for everything he does. And so the blood went down this gigantic crack, and it went about 20 feet down. So much blood. It went down and it landed. The blood of Jesus landed on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was right underneath our Lord, where our Lord Jesus was crucified. Absolutely amazing. This is the moment that changed everything. And you might think, well, why is that? Because maybe you've never even heard of the Ark of the Covenant, or maybe you don't know the significance of that, or why, what is this for? The Ark of the Covenant is the payment counter for sin. I was saying just a few minutes ago that our Lord Jesus literally paid with his own blood so that we could go free. He took our punishment so that we don't have to. And so you're thinking, well, this blood has to go, his blood has to go on the Ark of the Covenant, because the in all of the history, the blood of the lambs and the bulls would go on to the Ark of the Covenant. But how would you ever get the blood of Jesus, the Savior of mankind, how would you ever get the blood of Jesus to go on the Ark of the Covenant? And it's the payment counter. It has to be paid there, just like you wouldn't leave a store unless you paid at the payment counter. This is the payment counter for sin. From all of history, this was the payment counter. And I'm going to show you, you know, what it says in I think it's the book of Numbers, where when Moses built the Ark of the Covenant, how he was supposed to build it and what its purpose was. I'm going to read that to you. But this is what happened. It says that he will make an end of sins. In the book of Daniel, it says he'll make an end of sins. He will atone for sin. And on, how do you atone for sin? On the payment counter, on the payment, the mercy seat. It has to happen there. And our Lord did that. He has everything planned out from all the way from beginning to end. He has it all planned out. He had Jeremiah move the Ark of the Covenant to hide the Ark of the Covenant so that Nebuchadnezzar could not find it. He wanted this prize. He looked and looked and looked, and they were not ever able to find it. It was overladen with gold. They wanted the gold, but more importantly, this was a huge prize, and they never were able to find it, and it was hidden right in the what they called Jeremiah's grotto. It's like a cave. And so our wonderful brother Ron Wyatt was able to find it. The Lord revealed it to him where it was. It's right under where our Lord Jesus was crucified, right near Golgotha, the place of the skull. I go into all that in this video. So I will share this link for you right here so that you guys can have it. It really is amazing. It's the truth about the Ark of the Covenant is just beautiful. So I'm going to make sure you have the covenant. I will make sure you have that. You can watch that video. So definitely go grab that link. It's in the chat, and I'm sure Songbird will put this over in the comments section. All right. So there's that called Cataclysmic Find in an Underground Vault. It is the thing that should rock the world more than anything else. This, where is the payment made for our sins? All right, so I want you to see though what this looks like. So they've made it out to look totally different, but this is what the Ark of the Covenant really looks like. It's a giant golden box made of, you know, beautiful wood but overlaid with gold, and on each end you have an angel with these wings that are outspread and you're looking down at the payment counter. Now you see he's got the red right here on this picture because that's where the blood landed when it went through this crack after our Lord Jesus was pierced. Let me see if I can find that again. After he was pierced. Well, anyway, and then he was pierced and then the blood went down onto the ark. Okay, this is what they've made it out to look like, but that is not correct. And I'm going to read to you what exactly the ark, how it was supposed to be built, the specific details that Moses was given. And it was never said that the angels would sit on the ark. It doesn't say that, you know. And so anyway, once you've seen it, now you realize, okay, now this makes more sense, that you have an angel standing at each end of the ark, okay, in this beautiful, beautiful picture. So here is the passage right here in Exodus chapter 37. And so Bezaleel made the ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold for it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set in the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon one side of it and 2 rings upon the other side of it. So let me show you what that's talking about. These rings right here are to hold the poles with which they would carry the ark, because you were not allowed to touch it. Literally, someone did think, oh, it was going to fall. And so they went to touch it and they were struck dead. It's because you're looking straight into heaven. Now, when they would carry it, they would always cover it with a curtain so that people couldn't see, because they're not allowed to look upon it either. I mean, it's okay if you want to look at it, or if you want to touch it, then you're saying you want to go to heaven. You're going right now. It's that serious. All right, so that's from the book of Exodus chapter 37. And then look at verse 4. He made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the staves into the rings on the side of the ark to bear the ark. In other words, those poles, he's calling them staves, but the poles that were covered with gold so that it would carry the ark also. And he made the mercy seat on the top where the blood goes of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims. This is the important part I want you to see. He made 2 cherubims of gold beaten out of one piece. Made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Okay? Not sitting on top. I'm sure the people who designed this did the best they could. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, now that we see the drawing that... because they couldn't take a picture. Ron White was not able to take a picture. Now that we see the image of it, we realize, okay, that's what it was supposed to look like. Not the angel sitting on top, but actually standing on each end. All right, so I want you to see that. And they're looking down in great honor at the mercy seat. So he made 2 cherubims, 2 angels of gold, and he made them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Okay, so that is the picture. If you want to know more about this also, you can go to, and I'll pop the link of this to the chat, and I'm sure Songbird will put it in the comments. But and do that, if you don't mind, over on the YouTube, if you possibly can, darling. Here is wyattmuseum.com, wyattmuseum.com, W-Y-A-T-T, museum.com. So yeah, he did an amazing archaeological research. The Lord helped him just as a regular guy. I love how the Lord uses regular guys. I love how he's used each one of us, just regular people. We don't have all the accolades of the big and the big PhDs and the doctorates and all these big things. We just are regular people who have searched for truth, and the Lord has helped us to discover the truth, whether it's me with, you know, end times, but, you know, and we just share it as much as we possibly can with people. So it's really very, very exciting for the Lord to use Ron White. And of course, he's gone on now to be with the Lord, but one day everybody's going to know the truth of the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to be wonderful. All right. So definitely check that out, that video out. It's not that long of a video. It's just a 30 minute video, but it will touch your heart. You'll really love it. So again, we're talking about this amazing blood, and he talks about the blood being, very special, and that it was alive. This blood is alive. You can't kill the blood of Christ. He laid down his life. You cannot kill him. And so he, his blood has really, it doesn't have the regular chromosomes as humans. So watch the video and you can find out more about that. But here it talks about the power of the blood. We sing songs about it. There's power in the blood. Here's Romans 5:9. Since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. And justly, that we deserve, each of us deserves condemnation, but we are brought near, and we are also made right in God's sight. Think of yourselves, please, 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 please. Think of yourself that way. Think of yourself the way that the Lord thinks of you. He thinks of you as righteous, that you are the righteous. You are right in his sight. You are blessed and blameless in his sight. Now, that's one of the things that really irks me about the modern churches. They've made us out to be, oh, you are evil, you're terrible, you're horrible. No, we're not. We are blessed. We are forgiven. We are righteous in his sight. Yeah. And he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Here's another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. We bless the cup at the Lord's table. Aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? Aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? We are taking in, I'm going to show you that here in just a second, the body of Christ too. I want to make sure to show you that. Here's Ephesians chapter 2, 13. But now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Again, you go through that door, as I was showing you. We go through the door. This is the door that's the door to my kitchen. But then the door into the throne room of God, into that place in our hearts where we know that we're one with God, we're at peace with God, and we're forgiven. That's because of the blood of Christ that we can enter in. And also, I have a feeling that the Holy of Holies had a red veil on it. I have a feeling it was a red veil. And it's a picture of what we see for Passover, is that this is the doorpost, and this ripped open. Remember when our Lord Jesus died, the veil was torn. And so the way into God's throne was open for everyone, anyone who wants to walk with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? All right, so here's a couple more verses about the blood of Christ. Through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. There's no one, if you say, oh, well, I've got this sin. Oh, the blood of Christ will cover that. Oh, but I'm from this family. The blood of Christ can cover any of it. Oh, but I'm from this country. Doesn't matter. Anyone, anywhere, anything, it can be reconciled. All of it. All of it can be reconciled by the blood of Christ. So that's why we count on the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:14, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He sacrificed himself. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He is the one who pays the penalty that we all deserve. Now, they have terribly misused the word sacrifice, awfully used the word sacrifice. They have sacrificed children. They've done this. Way back in the day, they were, all these cultures would do all this saying, oh, sacrifice the virgin, whatever. The one and only sacrifice for sins is our Lord Jesus, who sacrificed himself for us, and that his blood would be on the mercy seat for all time. And actually, I wanted to pull up that verse in Daniel. I need to pull that verse up before we go. Don't let me forget. Okay, y'all. I wanted to pull up the verse in Daniel where it talks about the blood of Christ on the mercy seat. Let me go ahead and do that, because I know if I don't do it right now, I'm going to forget. There is a passage right here. Let's see. Daniel. Let's see if I can. I want to say Daniel. A bit wrong. I think it's at the end of Daniel. Sorry, I'm hurting your eyes. Okay. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. I found it. Yay. Thank you, Lord. All right. So this is Daniel 9:24. A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city. Okay. So if you're not familiar with that, I'm not going to go into the decode of this right now, but it is in this book. And knock over the whole world here if I don't watch out. End times in 1,000 years of peace. I go into the 70 times seven and what that really means, and then how that connects with the Jubilee. And it's amazing. I remember the day when I'm researching this, I'm like, Lord, help me to understand this. I said, I asked you guys on our social media, I said, pray, give me a push, because I know the Lord's helping me to piece that together. So this is gigantic. This is about Jubilees, about how fulfilling the promise of the Jubilee. And that's, wait, stop. I've got something else to tell you. Y'all, it dawned on me last night that the Jubilee that we're having on May 17th in Washington, that is right at Pentecost. And I know I'm jumping around, but y'all just bear with me, because I want to do this real quick. Calendar. Okay, here we go. We look at May. There is the first of Sivan. And the Shavuot starts on the 21st. They're calling this on the website, the rededication of our country to God. They're calling it a jubilee. And it's right there, just a few days before the jubilee, before the day of Pentecost. We're going to start on tomorrow counting the Omer, just like behind me. We count the 50 days, and we're going to start counting that just like we do every year. Again, we keep these festivals because we get so much amazing information out of them, especially this year. So I just find that so, so exciting that we're calling this the Jubilee. They're calling this the Jubilee on the country's website. Very, very exciting. All right. So yeah, I just want you to see that. So if you can go, it's May 17th, go and get your plane ticket or however you can get there. All right. So again, back to Daniel chapter 9. It's talking about that this is going to happen. This is going to be fulfilled. If it tarries, wait for it. It cannot be delayed. It will surely come. It will not be delayed, as it says in Habakkuk chapter 2. And it says here in Daniel chapter 9, a period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to do these things, to finish the rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and y'all ready? And to anoint the most holy place. What is that? It's the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is the most holy place. And to anoint that, anoint the most holy place. How can you ever anoint? What do you anoint it with? Water? No. Water can't do it. Oil? No. The blood of bulls and goats, which they put blood of bulls and goats on there all the time. Did that wash away sin? No. The blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is on the Ark of the Covenant. It was anointed. How would you ever get that done? The Lord crosses every T and dots every I. He's absolutely amazing because he knows the end from the beginning. He has all this in control. All right, so I wanted you to see that. Now let's move toward after our Lord Jesus was put in the tomb, literally just feet away from where he was crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull, which is at Jacob's Grotto. Jacob's Grotto is, he lived in this underground cave. So that's why he was able to hide this Ark of the Covenant there. And so then the next morning, again, there's an earthquake. They go to see because they've heard that he's gone. He's not there. And so Peter and John ran to see if he was there. And that stone, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And they stooped in and looked and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but they didn't go in. So why is this all this talk about this linen wrappings? What is all this about this linen wrappings? And I wanted to share this with you because this is something I noticed this year when we did the Passover. Like, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful. Okay, so remember I told you about the Afikoman on the video I did about the Passover. Okay, so you break the piece of matzah into thirds, and then you have that middle portion that you hide, and then it is put into somewhere hidden, and then later on, one of the children goes and finds it. Okay, so at the end, after it comes back to the table, someone said, "Oh, I found the Afikoman. I found Jesus." Just like the disciples, you know, they're looking for Jesus, and they see the linen wrapping. This is so symbolic. This is so significant because the linen is what they've used all this time to put the Afikoman in, right? And so then they see their linen wrapping, and it's gone. You know, Jesus is gone. But then you break the matzah, the piece of matzah, and then you share it. This is how they would do it. This is so cool. When Jesus, I've always thought that they just passed the bread around with their hands. They broke it and they would pass it. That's not what happens. They take the linen cloth and they have the matzah in the linen cloth, and it's like, it's easy to like take this and crunch it. You know, does that make sense? You break the bread, the matzah, and you're not getting your hands all over it. Okay, let's just be honest. Okay, so and then they pass it like that. Who thinks that is so cool? I think that is so cool. And so you would always pass the matzah bread, and he's saying, "This is my body." He took a piece. And then he would pass it from one to the next. He said, "This is my body broken for you, broken in this linen cloth for you, broken in the sense of, if you remember, the Lord, you know, his body, his bones were not broken. Well, what do you mean his body was broken? Well, his body was ripped open, first of all, for us. But also, it was broken away from the Father and the Spirit. That is the hardest thing our Lord Jesus endured. On the cross, he was literally separated from the Father and the Spirit because all of our sins were put onto him. And so he had to be separated from them. He'd never been, yes, he'd been physically separated when he was born and came, was incarnate, but he was literally separated from them because our sins separated from him from them. And so that's what he means that was so awful, was that he bore the agony of the punishment of sin for all of us when he was broken for us. So when you have your celebration and you keep the Lord's Supper, remember that and put it in a linen cloth. Find a little piece of linen and put the bread in there and pass it around like that. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? I just love finding out all these things that I'd never noticed before. You know, and keeping the Passover is super, in all the festivals, is so symbolic and helpful. And it really pieces together things that you've read maybe all your life and you didn't see. But if you want to know more about the Minor Prophets, this is the book where I decode the Minor Prophets. I just love the Minor Prophets now. I didn't realize they were our besties and they were trying to help us to understand all this. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was really great. I wanted to make sure that you saw that. And then I wanted you to see in Romans chapter 6, the significance of the blood of Christ and how it impacts you personally and also impacts the world, because the entire world is being set free from this criminal cabal. If the Lord Jesus had not gone to the cross and defeated Satan and his kingdom at the cross, there would be no chance for the world to be set free and to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. This is the Hallelujah Chorus. And this is specifically from Revelation chapter 11. Again, I talk about that in the book. All right, so it says in chapter 6, well, should we keep sinning so that God's grace, God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? We do get more grace the more we sin. It looks like, well, then we should just sin more. Of course not. That's dumb. It's dumb, basically, is what he's saying. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? What does he mean that we've died to sin? Do you consider yourself dead to sin? And this is what this whole passage is about. I want you to see this. Or did you forget that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined with him in his death? And this one, I really like the way that the Baptists do it. They put you under the water, say, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in new life. And that's a thing. It's a beautiful picture that we died with him, that we were on the cross basically with him. You know, we were with him when he died because he was doing this in our stead, in our place. We died and we were buried with him by baptism. We're joined to him. And so we were buried also symbolically. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new life. And we were raised with him also. We are joined with him. And so whatever he did in our place, in our stead, and for us. Since we've been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. And so this is what we have experienced personally, is because the blood of Christ has given us the power over sin. But the blood of Christ is also giving humanity the power over the satanic forces. This is what we're experiencing, is that the entire world will be set free and the satanic empire will be gone. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This is Revelation chapter 11. This is the passage. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so sin might lose its power in our lives. If you feel that you've got, you know, no power over sin, you plead the blood of Christ. His blood not only takes away the punishment of sin, it takes away the power of sin. And consider yourselves dead to that. Like, that's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. Super important, super gigantically important. Think of yourself the way the Lord thinks of you. They want us to think of ourselves as sinners. They want us to think of ourselves as evil. No, We are redeemed. We are bought with the blood of Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Since we died with Christ, we know we'll also live with him. Not just in the future, now. For we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives. And he lives for the glory of God. Same as with you. In verse 11, one of my favorite passages, Romans 6:11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. What we would do with the kids when I would sing this song with the kids. If you're not familiar, I have scripture songs on my website, like 900 of them. The kids would all lay down on the ground like they were dead, and then they would jump up and be alive. And so I was saying that you know, you're dead to that sin of, you know, whether it was hitting your friend or cheating or being disrespectful to your parents or whatever, you know, and I would teach the little kids. And so that I would say, okay, pretend like you're dead and you can't do that sin anymore. Look, try to move. You can't move. You can't do that sin anymore because you're dead to that. And so now jump up and you're alive to God and you're alive to doing the things that Christ wants you to do. So y'all can all do that over there wherever you are if you want to do that. I think that's, yeah. So sin doesn't control the way you live. And we don't have to give into its sinful desires. That's not who we are. We are alive because of Christ. All right. So now let's listen to what our wonderful president had to say. He gives us this wonderful message for Easter. And again, I'm going to make sure you have the link to the books over on the website here or on the chat. I think in this one, I talk about when Jesus went to the cross and the guy who was on the cross next to him, who was set free. I love this little book. It's $1.99 over on Amazon. I love the wonderful stories of people who got to meet Jesus. So I'll pop this. This is all the books right here, right there in the chat right now. All right. So then let's listen to what our wonderful president said about Easter right here.
This Holy Week, I'm proud to join with Christians across the country and around the world to celebrate the most glorious miracle in all of time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his life, Christ displayed true humility. In his death, he modeled true love. And in his resurrection from the tomb, he proved that even death itself will not silence those who place their trust in Almighty God. As it says in Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life, such beautiful words. This Easter, millions of Christians all over the globe will be reminded that because of what Jesus did on the cross, all of us can live every day with hope in God's promise, knowing that in the end, evil and wickedness will not prevail. In the spirit of joy and renewal this Easter, we also celebrate the extraordinary resurrection of faith and religion in America. As I have often said, to be a great nation, you must have religion and you must have God. In churches across the nation on Sunday, the pews will be fuller, younger, and more faithful than they have at any time in many, many years. Religion is growing again in our country for the first time in decades. Happy Easter to all. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Our country is doing so well like never before. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, President Trump. Love you. Thank you, President Trump. I love it that our country's back and we're a Christian nation. Did you hear Carolyn Leavitt say that? We're a Christian nation. And I just cannot wait until we're not being pushed down anymore and we can just have prayer in the schools and prayer everywhere. And you're not in trouble for praying. I'm so sick of that. All right. So then here's my song at the end. I'm going to play for you guys. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed all the wonderful things that we've been researching and the wonderful truth of God's word. It's just exciting. If you're not familiar with this, go to my website, melissaredpill.com, and definitely go into the end times page and you can see some little clips. If you want to share the clips about, you know, what is going on biblically, check out this page on melissaredpill.com and you will love it. It's really very, very exciting. And also you can read just little snippets of the books and get an idea what they are about. And you can actually send people books, email them to them on Amazon, which is a great way to do that. And let's make sure to share this information. Also the Golden Age, where we're headed in this 1,000 years of peace. If you're not familiar with all that God has said, you've got to check it out. And the audiobooks are finally ready on that. I have tons of audiobooks, four audiobooks, not tons, but it was a ton of work. I will say that. All right. So I think that's everything. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful golden age that's coming as the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross, not only for us personally, but for the entire world, that you have bought all of us so that we don't have to be under this horrible kingdom of Satan. Thank you so much, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you forever and ever. And now you are the great I am. And we bow the knee willingly to you and recognize that you are the Savior, the King of the world. And I thank you for everything that you are doing to set humanity free. We cannot wait. Oh, we know we're right at the door of seeing humanity set free from these creeps. We're ready for the resurrection day for all of humanity, and to see the evil ones gone, just like your word has promised that we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. We are ready. Lord, just guide us every step of the way until we get through across the Red Sea and get to the promised land. We pray all this in your wonderful name. Oh, and Jesus, I ask you to bless everyone on my channel, that everyone who's working so hard, bless them, guide them on what to share, help them to share the wonderful truth about how this is biblical, and help them to have strong, healthy lives. Protect them, surround them with your heavenly host. Don't let one hair fall from their head. Just keep them absolutely safe and getting healthier and healthier every day, and so that they'll live as long as trees and have time to enjoy our hard-won gains. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. All right, guys, last thing I want to show you. So this one, if you're not familiar, this one right here, this one's a book about, this is biblical. I talk about Moses and crossing the Red Sea and how we're basically reenacting all this before our eyes, the story of Gideon, and just, it's really exciting. Really exciting days. And now definitely go and check out, if you're not familiar, with the health page. We have lots of great information over there about how you can get your health back. If you've been struggling, you've got to detox, detox, detox. If you don't know what I mean by that, go to the health page, freedomforce.live/health, H-E-A-L-T-H. You can also look at the remedies page. Remedies our forefathers knew about, and they've been hidden from us. So not anymore. We are getting this information and sharing it like our hair's on fire. All right, guys, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow morning on Easter morning at 11 a.m. Central. I will talk to you later.
From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.